Like to turn into the book of the Gospel according to Luke in the sixth chapter today, beginning in the first verse of the sixth chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. I'm wrong. That's not where I'm going. I had my book marked the wrong place. That's where I was last Sunday. It's chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. One off. Verse 1. Got that one wrong. Now, when he had ended all his sayings, in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. This sounds like a wonderful person, this centurion, not one that you would expect to do the things that was mentioned. The respect that he had among the Jews is that they were actually encouraging the Lord to do something that they didn't really want him to do in other times, but yet for this centurion's sake, that as he made this appeal unto Christ, that they encouraged Christ to do what the centurion had asked him to do. They said, he loves our nation. He even built a synagogue for us. He was not just an occupying force, a rough and tumble soldier that caused grief, but this was a good man. This was a child of God, I believe, one that the Lord had called. And now he had heard of Jesus, had never met him, never seen him with his eyes that I know of. But he said he heard of Jesus. He had heard that the miracles that the Lord had done and had heard, I'm sure, of those that were sick that he had healed. Now, it's interesting that he went to the elders, the Jewish elders, to go to Christ on his behalf. But we'll find out why he did this. But that's what he did. And they came and besought the Lord, encouraged him, said, this is a good man. This would be good for him. It would be good for us if you would do this. Verse 6 says, then Jesus went with them. He was going to do it. He was gone his way to the centurion's house to fulfill this request. I trust to heal the servant that was sick. He was on his way to the centurion's house. But we read, and when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but saying a word, and my servant shall be healed. That's why he didn't go to the Lord. And he doesn't want the Lord to come to his house. I'm not worthy. Who is? Who is worthy? I'm not worthy to be here. I'm not worthy to stand in front of you. It ought to be somebody else. That's how I really feel. And yet, this is the way it is. We don't just have the Lord come to our house today. We have come to the Lord's house. And none of us are worthy. Should never feel worthy. But because of his love and mercy, we are being given this privilege. This is not a have to, this is a get to. We get to be here. It's good to be here. I'm glad we're here. I'm glad I'm here. But this man, he just could not, by, I guess, humility, maybe guilt, maybe extreme reverence. I like to think so. Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come to my house, but he still wants the Lord to heal his friend, his servant. And he says, just speak the word. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. And then he explains it like this. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now, what you have just heard is one of the greatest demonstrations of faith in the Scriptures. Just say the word, speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Because I tell the men under me, being a centurion, over 100 men, go and they go, come and they come, do and they do. Now, you're a man of authority. So while I know how that works, the chain of command. And by implication, he's saying you have greater command and authority than I do, because you can command things I have no power over. You can say to whatever it is that has made my servant sick, you can command that disease to flee from their body. And that disease will obey the command of Christ. That's pretty impressive. He would speak to the waves and the winds, and the winds and the waves obeyed him. What manner of man is this? Even his disciples would say that even the waves and the wind obey the sound of his voice. Never man spake like this man. Never man did anything like this man. Never man came to the earth like this man. And there is no man like this man. It's good to have someone in the Scriptures acknowledge that. Though it was not a Jew, it was a Gentile. It was a Roman. It was a Roman officer. The Lord had never been complimented like this before. Up till now, to me, some of the greatest things that have been attributed to the Lord by words were spoken by demons and devils. They acknowledged his greatness much more than his own people did. And now, similarly, likewise, the one you at least expect says this thing and demonstrates such great faith. So much so that the Scripture says when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Ah, that would sting if I was a Jew. That would hurt. But it is true. I have not seen faith like this. It says he marveled. I looked up that word, marveled, in Webster's original dictionary. He defined it as something that gets your attention. Something that causes you to wonder. Something that makes you stop and consider. And then he said this about the word marvel. This is an archaic word that is seldom used. He wrote that in 1827. Now, if you're a geek like me, you ought to be ahead of me. You already know what I'm about to say. But since I'm the geekiest one here, I'm going to have to say it. And 112 years later, a man by the name of Stan Lee put out a comic book called Marvel Comics, and all of a sudden, everybody knows what that word means. It said every day, Marvel. Wish that would happen to the word primitive. That would be nice. It happened to old school. Why not primitive? But some ways I'm kind of glad it happened at any rate. Marvel. A marvel. Well, I don't know who I heard say this. Smarter preacher than me, which is most of them, all of them. Brother Sonny and Brother Philip probably knows what I'm about to say. It might have been them that told me this. I don't know. It's a great point. There's only two times that the Lord marveled. This is one of them. You know the other time he marveled? At a lack of faith. And that was at his own hometown. Yeah. People he'd known all his life, he marveled at their unbelief. Did the same thing. My friends, it's a pass fail. Either way, the Lord's going to marvel. I would rather the Lord marvel at my demonstration of faith than a lack of faith. I will be the first one to tell you that I know that I have shown a lack of faith far more than I've ever shown the possession of faith. May the Lord forgive me. He marveled at this man's faith. One man's faith. Speak the word. Speak the word. That sounds something important for us to know. And for us to practice. It's very needful for us to remember those words and say them to the Lord. Speak the word. My servant will be healed. And he would tell them to go their way. And when they got back, they found that the servant had been made whole that had been sick. This has got me thinking about prayers, making requests, asking things of the Lord. I try to pray every day. Leslie and I go to sleep and we offer a prayer. We try to say prayers at meals. I'm not bragging. Why should I brag about something that I ought to be doing? We ask the Lord things that we need, that we trust, that we desire in a good way. Brother Silas led us in prayer. Brother Silas asked the Lord to bless us and to bless even me. I was very humbled by that. Bless us. We've been lifting up prayers and intercession for Brother Sonny and for other people as well that are sick and afflicted, those that are lonely and distraught, those that are confused and lost. We pray for them. Those that once knew the way have lost their way. The many prodigals that are out there, we pray for our churches. We pray for our nation. We pray for the world. We pray for peace. We pray for rain. We pray that the Lord would bless us to live a good life. We even ask the Lord to give us a peaceful hour in which to die. We ask the Lord for a lot of things. And sometimes I consider my prayers, and most, 99% of them, are things that I'm asking the Lord. Asking the Lord. But that doesn't bother me so much. And it shouldn't bother you. And I want y'all to understand what I'm telling you. Because the Scriptures tell us to pray. Scriptures say, you have not because you ask not. There are things that I could have had of the Lord if I just asked for it. There are things that I should have known better than to ask for. There are things that I didn't get because I asked amiss or for the wrong reasons. There are things that I just didn't pray about it entirely, just neglected completely to pray for it. There are things that were bothering me that kept me up at night and that I would stress and worry and worry and worry and worry. One of my favorite lines, and I don't know who said it, why pray when you can worry? That's me. I like the worry. It's one of my best things. I enjoy doing it sometimes. I shouldn't. Why worry when you can pray? You have not because you ask not. One of my favorite expressions, and one of my favorite chapters, is Philippians chapter 4. Lots of good advice in that chapter, in this whole book especially. But one of my favorite scriptures of all time that I contemplate a lot and tell myself a lot, Philippians chapter 4 and 6. Wonderful scripture where the Apostle Paul says, be careful for nothing. That doesn't sound like it makes any sense, does it? But it makes a lot of sense if you parse it out. Look at what he's saying. Where careful means to be full of care. Don't be over anxious. There's nothing that ought to assault you in such a way that you lose your faith. You have casted away your confidence. Paul says confidence has great recompense of reward. Confidence means to possess faith. Confidele, with faith, to have faith. Cast not away. That means you can. You can cast away your confidence. Now be the opposite. Paul says, here's the way to be careful for nothing. There's nothing you can't take to the Lord. There's nothing you can't pray about. Be careful for nothing, but in everything. Brother David, you said take everything to the Lord. Well, that's what Paul just said. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, there's something that I've learned this week. I guess I knew it, but I never really could articulate it until I was meditating about this week. There are some things that we are guaranteed to receive by the act of prayer. There's some things that follow prayer every time, though we may not be aware of it, but let us be aware of it. And one of the things that is guaranteed to happen is in the next verse, where Paul says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your and minds through Christ Jesus. That's guaranteed. He did not say you're going to get what you have prayed for. He did not say it's going to fall out the way you want it to. He did not say you're going to get what you expect. But you should expect this because this is what you're going to get. You are going to have the peace of God. There's a scripture in this chapter where Paul reverses those words. And he says, and the God of peace. He's a God of peace, and we can have the peace of the God of peace. That is the opposite of careful. To be calm, to not fret, to not be over anxious, to not be consistently worried, or not to think the worst is going to happen. Why would you think the worst when you've done the best? The best thing you can do is pray. You can't do anything better than pray. And that, let the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. You may not understand it, that I have spoken to folks in the hospitals. I've spoken to people that have lost loved ones. I've spoken to people that are very sick. And I've spoken to people who the world would say has every reason to complain or to be upset. And yet, many of those people demonstrated an ununderstandable peace and calm in the midst of the storms of life. You know why? They've been praying. And the Lord has blessed them. In everything by prayer and supplication. There's two words that are interchangeable that the Bible uses in regard to prayer. One of them is supplication. That means to beg, to beseech, to make a request. Supplicate. Then there's another word, which is a different word, but it means the same thing, and it is used in prayer, where the scripture says, let your petitions be made known unto God. A petition is a supplication, and a supplication is a petition. I like that word, petition. I like that word because I see it every day in my work. It is a legal expression. It's a term used in the legal sense. Now, this is the boring part of the sermon because I'm going to be talking about legal things. To me, it is the most exciting part because I like it. But I'll try to make it interesting. I find it extremely interesting. Petition means to make a request of a higher power. And it is used legally when you go and you are making a request of the government or the courts to hear a complaint. You're filing a petition. You're asking the court to do something for you. Now, when you file a petition, you have to be very careful that you get the wording just right. If you mess up a word, or if you don't put a clause in, or you say the wrong clause, and you take that written petition to the county clerk, that clerk is going to look at it and turn it right back to you and say, it's unacceptable. You're going to have to redo it. You didn't do it right. Go back and you redo it. Maybe this time you got it right. They look at it. They verify it. They say, I accept it. And then they put a stamp on it with the, in our case, the Bexar County seal. That petition has now been filed. It does not mean the court is going to do what you want in the petition, but that guarantees your petition is going to be heard in the courts. When we file our petition to God, there's one thing we've got to get right. That's right. And that means we need to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to do that. He said, ask in my name. When you pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that gives you the legal authority to appeal to the government of heaven itself. It is like when Esther walked into the court of Ahasuerus and he extended the golden scepter to her. That gave her the right to stand in that court. And what did she do? She made a petition. If he had not stretched out the scepter, she may have been killed. But her petition would not have been heard. You want to see that seal when you make a petition before the county or district court. And you want to intone that authority that you have been given by grace and mercy to speak in the name of the Son of God. What a privilege that is. What a great thing. That's why That is why we say in Jesus' name. I was asked to offer the prayer one time when I worked for the city of San Antonio to say the prayer at their awards banquet. Somebody had heard that I was a preacher, and so they thought it would be nice to get a real preacher to offer what they hoped would be a real prayer. But they did not want a real prayer because they told me that I could not pray a real prayer. They said, please do not say the word Jesus or Christ. Some of our people here will find it offensive. I don't want to offend God. I would rather obey God than men. They made me mad. This probably wasn't a good thing, but I prayed and I bore down. In Jesus' name, amen. I was persona non grata after that. I still got a meal. They never asked me back. I can't not pray in Jesus' name, y'all. I can't do it. No matter you tell me not to do it, I'm going to do it. In my opinion, at that banquet, that was the best thing that ever happened at that banquet. Not because I prayed it. But I've got the confidence that what I said, because I said it in the name of Jesus, that I know God heard it. And my petition's in heaven. My beloved friends, we need to have the faith of this centurion. Because this is what we do. Now, I don't want to bemoan the fact that, oh, wouldn't it be nice to live in the times of Christ and to see Jesus? Oh, yes. Oh, there's so many places in the life of Christ I would have liked to have seen, to witness, to be there, to even speak to him, though I'm not worthy. But you know what, my beloved? Jesus told his apostles before he left, I'm going away, but I'm coming back. Oh, yeah, he's coming back on the resurrection. That's not what he said. He says, I will send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. I will come to you. Now, when we feel the presence of the Lord, and when we feel the Spirit of God, and when we're in the Spirit on the Lord's day, or when we feel that wonderful feeling that God is close and near to us, now, my friends, we're with Christ, and we know that he's with us here. And so that ought to encourage us to pray in his name, to let our request be made known unto God, to ask, and that we will have the petitions that the Lord has asked. Now, this centurion prayed that the Lord would come and heal his sick servant. That was an intercession, which is a type of prayer. We make intercessions for those who are sick and afflicted. There were many intercessions made for me when I was in the hospital. I'll never forget it. There are intercessions made for our beloved Brother Sonny. There have been intercessions made, I'm sure, for everyone in this building today. People have made intercessions for me that I don't even know. Countless times that they asked that the Lord would bless Brother David. My. That humbles me beyond my comprehension that someone would do like that for me. And yet, my beloved, it is a light thing for me to go before my Lord and say, Lord, bless Brother Sonny. Lord, bless Brother Philip. Bless Bethel Church. Bless the sick and afflicted. Bless those names that they've brought up. Lord, you know who they are. Father, would you please grant them healing? Now, I want to talk about that for a minute, real quick. along the same lines that we're discussing here today. The Scriptures tell us that if any sick among you, what did the Scriptures say? James tells us to do something. He says to call for the elders of the church. They will lay hands and they will pray over the sick. He says to do other things. We won't get into that. And then James makes an interesting statement. He says, in the prayer of faith, like this centurion, the prayer of faith is guaranteed to do something. I told y'all there are things that are guaranteed to happen when you pray. Peace of God's one of them. Here's another one. When you pray, that intercession for sick, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Now, you know what it didn't say? It didn't say it would heal the sick. But it did say it will save the sick. That means they're going to be delivered. In whatever way, I don't know. Could be a lot of ways. God knoweth. But I know that deliverance will come to that person, whoever they are, your brother, your parent, your children, your good friend, a co-worker, fellow member of the church, whoever they are, that they're sick, your prayer, said in faith, will deliver them. That is an absolute promise made of God in His inspired word. Now, they may or may not be healed, but they will be delivered. It reminds me of what the three Hebrew children said at the fiery furnace. We don't know if God will deliver us from the fire, but we know He will deliver us from thee, O King. We know that. There should be no doubt in our minds about that. We should not falter at that. And just because something specific that we wanted to happen didn't happen, consider the thing that did happen that you may not even know about, but the Scriptures tell us there's deliverance. They got it. Be thrilled about that. And then they came to the Lord one time. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He taught them. He taught them, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Now, I'm not one of these preachers that get all upset when they say the Lord's Prayer. Some of y'all might. That's fine. I'm having a better day than you because you're upset and I'm not. I don't mind calling it the Lord's Prayer because the Lord prayed it. There's a lot of Lord's Prayers in the Bible. You want to call it the model of prayer? That's fine. That's not in the Bible either, but okay. The prayer, the dutiful prayer, the prayer that He taught us to pray, that He did not mean for us to pray exactly word for word, by the way, because it becomes a vain repetition when you do. But He said, after this manner, therefore pray ye. He taught us to pray. He taught us how to structure a prayer. How we should, I'll use the word model. I don't want to get anybody mad. How to model a prayer. The Lord did. Our Father, which art in heaven. That's a declaration. That's an absolute declaration. That is you saying, I know where you are and I am talking to you. I know who I'm talking to. I understand what this means. I understand that what I'm doing right now, I'm not just talking to Brother Dave. I'm talking to the Lord, my Father, our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. I'm going to give Him some glory. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to give Him glory. I'm going to worship Him in my prayer. I'm going to acknowledge this great Father the Lord himself. Hallowed be thy name. And then he says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now that's an interesting statement. And I'm still trying to really get some all... I can't get all the meat, but there's a lot of meat that I'm missing. Is that a request or is that a declaration? Or is that an if statement? Now think about that for a minute. Think about it. If you got some ideas, I want to hear it. Because I don't know. I'll be the first one to tell you. There's a lot there I'm missing. It sounds like a declaration to me. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But I also think that by saying that, that we're putting ourselves under that declaration and under the authority of that declaration or what that declaration is saying. In other words, anything that I ask or request or petition or supplicate or intercede falls under your discretion. You can't go wrong with that. Okay? We know the Lord's will is done in heaven. Of course it is. We ought to want it to be done in earth. On earth or in earth. Specifically in our life and in the way that we walk and travel and conduct ourselves. First of all, it might be borderline hypocritical to say, let it be done on earth but not in earth. In other words, what I'm meaning is like, I'll do what I want. Lord, just give me what I want. No, Lord, first of all, let me be subject to your will. And let your will be done in my life, in my heart, in my mind, in my life, in my house, in my family, in the church, in all that I do. And whatever I ask for after this point is subject to your will. So that does not mean that you can't ask the Lord for what you want to ask. It doesn't preclude the request because Paul said, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto the Lord. But you're understanding now something. I am praying for the sick. I know, according to the scriptures, that my prayer will save the sick. The prayer of faith. Hopefully I'm praying in faith. I don't know, though, if it's the Lord's will to heal who I'm praying. But I still want the Lord to heal them. I'm going to be honest. I want the Lord to heal Brother Sonny. I want it all gone. I want Brother Sonny to live another 50 years. As long as he's, good with that. As long as the Lord is good with that. Go for the top. That's why I always say, go up higher. I'm going to reach up here. I'm going to try to get as much as I can if it's the Lord's will. But I also know you have not because you ask not. And yes, you have not because you ask amiss. Hopefully I'm not asking amiss, but I don't want to have not because I didn't ask. So I'm going to ask, knowing it's the Lord's will. I'm still going to ask for it. Lord, heal Brother Sonny. Lord, heal my servant. That's what the centurion said. Speak the word, and my servant will be healed. You may not speak the word, but if you do, my servant will be healed. Lord, amen. Heal the sick. I'm praying for them. Lord, bless them. People prayed for me. Lord, bless Brother David. Heal him. Bring him back. Get him out of there. Give him comfort. I was delivered. I was also healed. this servant was delivered, that servant was also healed. The man that they let down the roof that I tried to speak about said, when the Lord saw their faith, that's intercession. There's some intercession going on by their act of faith in bringing that sick man before the Lord. That's what we do in intercession. We're bringing our dear friends right before the Lord Jesus, laying them down at his feet and beseeching the Lord to heal him. And you know the first thing he said, of course, I'm going to re-preach that sermon, I guess. Thy sins be forgiven. Amen. Best news ever. Then he said, rise up and walk. So my beloved friends, yes, yes, I need to hear again, my sins are forgiven. And if it may be that I need to rise up and walk in whatever way that may be. Like I said, I mentioned those who have lost their way. They're paralyzed by sin. You're paralyzed by the siren call of the world. We're paralyzed by their own ego and indiscretion. Lord, Lord, heal them. Let them cast away that cot that's confining them. Let them take up their bed and walk. It's up to you, Lord, if it be your will. But I'm praying, and I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep praying until I, like the Father, see that boy coming down the road. Lord delivered him. Lord blessed him, and the Lord healed him. So thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, heal my servant. Speak the word. Lord, Lord, can I hear? He wasn't even there to hear the Lord speak the word. He didn't feel like he needed to be there, but you've got that much power and authority, and I have faith in that, you see, because that's the strength of faith. It's not faith in you. It's faith in the one you're praying to. And you ought to have a lot of faith because he is powerful and he is great and he is mighty and he's full of majesty. And then he said to us, I am giving you permission to use my name. And your petition will be heard in heaven. Now think about that as I close. A lot more I could say, but I don't want to belabor this. Think about it, though. Think about it. It's kind of a neat feeling. I've never had to do this, to file an official petition. Well, I guess maybe I have, but we won't get into that. Yes, I have. I did. I went before. I work for the county. I know the people. I went to them. I went to the county clerk of Behar County and said, I need to do this. She said, they may give you this paper, that paper, whatever. Here's the paper you need. Just let me fill it out. She filled it out. She got her clerk to enter it into the system, signed it, stamped it. Some judge is going to hear this. Guaranteed. Now you go to the Lord. Whatever it is, I have asked the Lord to help me pass a test in school. I don't remember if I did or not. I guess I did. I graduated. But at the age of 5, I asked the Lord to do something that had never been done before in the history of the world. Y'all probably heard me say this so many times, but it's such a great story. It's story number 215, Brother Sonny. My mother was the tightest, cheapskatest mother that ever lived in the world. And I'm saying that on Mother's Day. But she's not here. I look in our refrigerator and our freezer and I see 2 deals of Bluebell ice cream. Man, these kids are spoiled. You know what? If I got anything, it was Mellorine. You know what Mellorine is? It's not ice cream. And if you've never had it, you need to be praying prayers of thanksgiving, because that's a prayer. But Mellorine is served in hell. They serve it. That's what you have to eat in hell, is Mellorine. It is an abomination. But that's what we got. We got sure, fresh Mellorine. Oof. But at the age of 5, I stand out there on the curb at our house in Wichita Falls, Texas, and I heard Turkey in the Straw. That was the most beautiful sound in the world, because it was the ice cream man coming. But I never got anything from him. But I just heard Elder R.H. Williams preach a sermon on prayer at Salem Primitive Baptist Church that Sunday. And I listened, and I said, "Oh, Lord." I was trying to imitate the old brethren when they prayed, "Oh, Lord." And I thought that's how you're supposed to do it. "Oh, Lord, would you please grant me an ice cream today? Oh, Lord, if you would, I'd be so happy." And got a little sing-song and just did all that, you know. And I can say this. I prayed in faith. And I didn't even get to amen when my brother Mike runs out, "Dave, Mom gave us money for ice cream. Hallelujah." Yes. The heavens opened. "Friend, come up higher." Wow, 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 wow. We stood up there. We had the money. He said, "You better stop. You better stop. Play that song, but you better." He stopped. The first time I ever remember eating an Eskimo pie. Man, one of the greatest things in life. I had an Eskimo pie. I would still eat an Eskimo pie, even if it was Mellorine, just because of that. And got that, and that taught me something. Lord, here's a 5-year-old boy's prayer for ice cream. I'm praying for my dear friends to be healed from a disease. And I'm going to pray it in Jesus' name. I'm going to file a petition in heaven itself. And it's going to go before the King. It's going to go before the Lord. It's going to go before God the Father. And it will be heard in that highest court. What better thing can you do? And how that ought to increase our faith. And how thankful we ought to be. We may be turned away at Washington, D.C., but we're not turned away. In our highest court, higher than that, the Lord Himself. What a privilege we have. Thank the Lord for it. Pray without ceasing. Make your requests be made known unto God. Thank y'all. May God richly bless you, is my prayer. We'll have a song, we'll have a handshake, and we'll give the opportunity for those who'd like to come and join and take up their cross and follow the Lord. You can't do anything better than that. Why are you waiting for it? We're standing on ready to help you out. May the Lord bless you. Let's sing a hymn.